Just remain standing, if you will. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 31 in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 31. Amen. Appreciate those songs. That third verse says, are you ready for those mansions bright? You might ought to say, are you ready for that third verse? Because I wasn't sure. I lost track where we was at. And apparently Brother Matt did too. Amen. So we was on there together, amen. We wasn't hardly ready for the third verse, but I'm glad I'm ready for the mansions bright, amen, amen, amen. Proverbs chapter number 31, and looking at these verses, this, of course, you know this is familiar text. We've been going through it now for a good long while, and I find it, you know, it's interesting how things work out in this. This makes 118 sermons on Proverbs verse by verse. Now, I've preached some sermons that wasn't included in this. And today also, this makes 950 sermons that I've preached behind this pulpit since I've been here as pastor. And so one out of nine has been from the book of Proverbs. Isn't that amazing? One out of nine has been from the book of Proverbs. There's so much in this book. So much in this book. And matter of fact, we could, when we finish this tonight, we could come back next Sunday, start chapter 1, verse 1 again, go right through it again, and glean things and find things that probably would be a blessing and a help. You cannot, the wonderful thing of the wealth that's in this treasure trove we call our Bible is that you can never get to the bottom of it. You can never exhaust it. Amen. You can draw water out of that well, and there'll still be more water there when you get done than there was when you started. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at verse number 26 tonight. We're just going to deal with these last six verses. Last five verses. Verse 26 through 31. And we'll read it responsively together as we go. So verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue, or in her tongue, is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. That is six verses. That's good. Six verses there we're covering tonight. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer again, please? Yes. Yes, Lord. Help us. Yes, help Lord Jesus. Yes. Help us, Lord, yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, this is almost a bittersweet moment when you think that we're going to finish up this great book. It's been such a blessing. Amen. As we've looked at it, and it ends with such a pinnacle, this great story and account of the virtuous woman. And the story, there's questions about whether or not this is talking about one particular woman or a composite that is like the goal for ladies to shoot for. I think that is very probable, that's what it's in telling, because this woman's almost like a superwoman of some kind in her abilities, that she has. But in spite of all that, there are instructions for us. Matter of fact, the whole book of Proverbs being instructions on everyday life. That's one thing I like about it. It's just so practical. Instructions, really, not just everyday life, every area of life. Parenting, business, church, work, political, spouse. I mean, you just go on down through there, you'll find instructions one after another. He instructs husbands and wives. He instructs parents and children. He instructs kings. He instructs slaves. He instructs people from all areas of life in this book of Proverbs. And as we've studied through it, gained many insights that I believe are helpful in practical living. Now, having said that, we found wise instructions in these areas. And in this final chapter from verse 10 on particularly, we're finding instructions about this virtuous woman. I believe these instructions can be applied to any woman at any level, whether she's a wife or not. It can be applied whether she's a mother or not. It can be applied whether she's a queen or not. Whatever the case is, this can fit into the woman. But it's specifically stated as if it's the advice of an older lady speaking to her young son about what to look for in a bride. Amen. And so we can see that in the text. Here's one avenue I want you to think about it. The church is supposed to be the bride of Christ. Isn't that right? He didn't find much when he found us. But he deserves something. Amen. Before Christ came, we certainly wouldn't consider ourselves a virtuous bride. But since Christ came, he deserves a virtuous bride. He deserves the very best, and so we ought to aim for that. I believe that's one of the things of this, be aiming for that. So this woman, I said almost like a superwoman, it's as if she's above. That's what the word super means, by the way, above. It's above the average person there, and it seems like she is above what can even be attainable. It's impossible to stay up late every night and get up early every morning. You can't just do that right on and on. It's impossible to just keep on in some of these things that she excels in. She's above what most people can attain. And yet, she is what we ought to reach for. She is what we ought to strive to attain. That's how the scripture gives us. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus' advice to us. Be ye perfect. Isn't that what he said? You say, preacher, I can't attain that. He knows that. Yet he said, that's what you aim for. When he said to that woman at the well, go and sin no more. I preached a sermon on that. And asked, do you think he thought she would never sin again? No. But he said that's the goal. That's what you aim for. And so we need to have a goal that is above what we can reach. Somebody said if you're always reaching your goal, you're not setting your goals high enough. I think that's probably right. Amen. So looking at these verses, starting with verse number 26, and we've covered a lot of ground already. It says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 20 talks about her opening her hand. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. And I use that, and I believe that stretching is as if opening her hand. She is stretching out her hand to the poor. Now here, not only to the needy, but we find her opening her mouth with wisdom to the simple. She's willing to give what she has. Amen. She's willing to help others that are in need. She openeth her mouth with wisdom for the simple. Now, that doesn't mean she's a loud-mouthed woman. Amen. It doesn't mean that she's a brash, bragging, blowhard of a woman. Amen. But she opens her mouth with wisdom. When she speaks, she has something to say. Amen. Matter of fact, her wisdom in her mouth comes out with kindness. You see that in that same phrase. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So it's not biting wisdom. It's not destroying, destructive wisdom. It's helpful. It's kind. It's courteous. Amen. And by the way, you think, just to be honest with you, those are feminine traits. Right? Not saying that men can't be kind and courteous. They should be, and they don't make them feminine. But we think of a woman as being kind and courteous. Right? Up until just recently, you didn't think of a woman with tattoos on her shoulder, chains from her ear to her nose. But today, that's where we're at. What's happened? We've got coarse. We've got crude. Right? Even what it said in Romans chapter 1, even the women left the natural use. It's natural for women to be kind and courteous. Amen. And that's what she uses her tongue not for biting, not harsh words. She uses her tongue issuing kindness. Now she's got wisdom in her mouth. When she opens her mouth, it's with wisdom. Now I wrote some things down. Gossip is not wise. Cursing, coarse language is not wise. Empty, shallow, and vain talk is not wise. But this virtuous woman knows how to use her mouth with wisdom. Amen. She doesn't use her mouth in vain pursuits. She's not spending half the day saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most beautiful of us all? Amen. She's using her tongue with wisdom. Amen. I put it this way in my notes. Our world has enough loud-mouthed, crude women cursing and denigrating everything and everybody around them. Amen. There's enough of these coarse women that's fussing about everything. We need some loving mothers with a kind tongue. Amen. Amen. We need some gentleness and goodness and kindness. And again, those are feminine traits. Amen. Notice that the kindness in her tongue is not there by accident, and it's not there by nature. It's there by law. You ought to underline that. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Not just that it comes natural to her. She's made it her duty. She has made it a law. When I speak, I'm going to speak with kindness. When I speak, I'm going to speak with wisdom. When I speak, I'm going to speak in a way that's not like the world speaks. It is a law unto her. She has recognized her duty to speak with kindness. Now, let me just plug this right here, and I'm moving on. I don't need a whole lot of amens and agreements with this. Daddies can be brash and harsh sometimes with their speech. That's why we need a helpmeet. Amen. That's why God didn't intend on daddies raising families without a mother. And that's also, by the way, boys need a little bit of steel in their britches. Amen. A little bit of strength in their backbone. So that's why God didn't mean for boys to be raised by mamas without daddies. Amen. He meant for parents to work together in this thing, and the dad can be the harsh one and the mama can be the kind one. And you need both. Amen. I mentioned this morning about Brother Philip working in the jail, Brother Jim working in the prison system. These men know something. You got to have a good cop and a bad cop. If you're going to get anything out of them, get anything done, you got to have one fellow that's there to prop them up, the other fellow to knock them down. Amen. And that's what we need in the home. I believe that's right. All right, look at verse number 27. Verse number 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. We've already covered a lot about the fact that she's not idle. And a lot's been said. This reflects back to it. It's pointing back to those things already been said about her diligent care for her husband, for her family, for her servants. She's made sure they've got clothing, proper clothing. For the temperature. She's made sure they've got food. She supplied them with their needs. But this goes beyond that. Notice what it says, verse 27. Not only she looks well to the clothing of her household, she looks well to the feeding of her household. It said she looks well to the ways. She knows the directions they're going. She's keeping an eye on the family. She's guiding the house. Say amen right there. That's right. Guiding the house. She reaches beyond their food and clothing to notice their ways, to notice their behavior. Amen. I can remember times when my wife has said to me, she'll say, honey, one of these, and she'll mention one of them is starting to have a bad attitude. You're going to have to keep an eye on them. Amen. I'm talking about at home. I'm not talking about y'all. Her tell me that about y'all necessarily. No, but you know what? Mamas notice the attitudes. Daddies may not notice. I mean, you tell them to do it and they do it. And you know, you don't care if that's mad or not when they've done it. But mamas notice the attitude because it's important. Amen. They're more motivated. I understand that. That's how God made us, by the way. That's not bad. That's a good thing. God made us that way so that mamas can be more emotionally driven and recognize those attitudes and those things. And she notices their behavior. She notices their attitude. And I believe just as sure as this virtuous woman would seek to clothe her children properly and would seek to feed her children properly, she would also seek to give them right morals and right decencies and right demeanor. She'd want them to carry themselves right. A lot of times kids can be rude, lack of a better word. They can just be rude. Yeah. They can just walk up to you, you know, and say, why are you so fat? They don't know. They're supposed to say, bless your heart afterwards. But it's because they don't know how to say it. I mean, what they're saying, they got a question, you know. They got a question, but and they how do you learn without asking? But they got to learn how to ask to keep from getting backhanded. Amen. Because if you ask mama why she's fat, she may not have the law of kindness in her tongue. Well, it's just the way this dress makes me look fat. It always does every time I wear it. All right. All my clothes do too. Anyway. But here's this mama, this woman that notices the attitude. And so she wants to teach her children. Listen, there's ways to ask. There's ways to approach. And by the way, that's one thing they ought to be able to watch mama. Mama don't rule the roost. Amen. Mama is in subjection to her husband. And yet she can ask him questions and she can help guide the house without usurping authority. Amen. So they need to learn how to do that. Amen. Amen. Well, this woman, I believe, is an example of dignity and honor and faithfulness in her own life. And she seeks to see that displayed in the ways of her children. That's her ways. Her ways are decent. Her ways are honorable. Her ways are full of faithfulness. And she wants her children's ways to be that way as well. She despises idleness. Not only she don't want idleness for herself, she don't want her children to be idle. She's not going to allow her children to be trained in idleness. She hates indecency. Therefore, she's not going to allow her children to speak or behave indecently. Amen. She's going to teach the little girls how to sit like a lady. Amen. She's going to teach her children how to behave themselves. Young men like gentlemen. Amen. Going to teach those things in decency. Then the last phrase of this verse, verse 27, and eateth not the bread of idleness. I believe it talks about her care is constant. This goes on. She constantly looking after them. Even when she's relaxing, she's noticing how her family's doing. Even when she's refreshing herself, she is diligently watching her children and her family. In other words, she's never off guard duty. One of the things about a good mama, and everybody knows that, one of the things about a good mama is they're never off guard duty. Amen. Some of us can remember being out and about as boys, gallivanting in the streets, and we had a time to be home, and when we was late, mama knew when we was late. You know why? She is on guard duty. She may not have been sitting there with a shotgun. She may have been sitting there with a shotgun. But she knew when we was out of order. Amen. That's what this diligent lady does as well. Now, and I could run a rabbit there, but and I won't run it, but I'll just throw it out there. You can't be diligent to your cell phone and diligent to your child at the same time. You can't be diligent keeping up with social media and keeping up with all the YouTube and keeping up with all the happenings and be diligent to your family at the same time. All right, I'll just leave that. All right, verse number 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. I believe that this verse is probably where we get our idea of Mother's Day, and we honor mothers on that Mother's Day. But here in this case, it's not talking about necessarily a certain day that this happens, but just that it happens in the course of time and it happens in life. Notice, first of all, it starts with her children. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Now, here's why. Because even children know that virtue is honorable. Amen. There's not a boy or girl in our church or even in public school. Now listen, and I know there's a vast difference about what's going on in public school as what probably goes on in our church. But I'm just saying, there's not a boy and girl in our church or in public school that hopes their mama runs around on their daddy. Not one. Because they know virtue is important. They may not even know how to spell virtue. Right. But in their mind, they know, and by the way, this is what happens. Because when they find out mama's cheating on daddy, they wonder if she loves them. Same thing about daddy. They find out daddy's cheating on mama, they got to wonder, does daddy love me? Is he going to throw us all away for some floozy? Amen. Children know innately, they know on the inside, they know by instinct, you might say, that virtue is honorable. But not only do children know that, husbands know that. More than the children hoping mama ain't running around, daddy's hoping mama ain't running around. Amen. And mama's hoping daddy ain't running around. Amen. Virtue is honorable. Children know that, and husbands know that. So if women would like for their children to rise up and call them blessed, if they would like for her husband also to praise her, they ought to choose to endeavor towards virtue. It's in your own interest, is what I'm saying. It's for your own benefit that you live that virtuous life. In other words, he's given us this goal, not so that people will pat you on the back, but he's saying it that's how it's going to turn out if you'll live this life. You'll set this as your goal and make this your plan. Live this life out. It's going to come back to honor you in the days to come. Amen. Now, we're living in a society in which women of no virtue are the ones that are being praised and applauded by the men of our world and by many of the women of our world. Amen. That's right. Men and women today in the media, men and women in the world, talking heads and newspapers, magazines, and all that kind of stuff in society today, they're applauding these women that have no virtue and no morals. But the children of those women are suffering. Even though mama's picture may be on the latest magazine, those children are suffering because they know mama has no virtue. They know that's not what mamas are supposed to be like. Amen. That's not what mamas are supposed to be like. Let me go ahead. I'll touch this phrase while I'm here and I'll move on. There's a phrase ran through our world the last several years and some people use it. They talk about being a hot mama. The word hot, by the way, in talking about a woman, is not a good word. It's not an endearing word. It's not a moral word. It's a word that's saying that she is wild. It's a word that said that she has no morals. It's a word that said that she's ready to run with anything and everything. Like a dog in heat. That's what it's referring to. So if somebody says you look hot today, that is not a compliment. You ought to slap their jaws with a law of kindness in your tongue when you speak to them. That's not a compliment when they say that. But we're living in a world where they think that is a compliment. We're living in a world where they've got a phrase now. They talk about slut shaming. When somebody dresses like a slut and you say something about it, then you're shaming the slut. By the way, it is a shame to be a slut. Amen. It's a shame to look like one. It's a shame. We don't have to shame you. If you're not ashamed, you're the one with the problem. And by the way, the little kids know that. The little kids know that. If little Johnny's walking by your side, he's about this tall, and when he looks up at you, he can see up your skirt, he knows you're not moral like you ought to be. Right? If he can see a slit, he knows you're not moral like you ought to be. And these ain't in my notes, but I'm just giving it to you free. I'm on the last of it. I got to deal with this stuff. Amen. No, but seriously, we're in a day where morals are not applauded, but this is said morals ought to be applauded. This is talking about children know that mama ought to be a virtuous woman and children to praise her if she is. Amen. Amen. So let me see if I can find my notes again, find where I'm at. I'm talking about this society where women are not virtuous and yet they're being applauded, yet their children are suffering and they just wish that their mama was virtuous. There are a lot of men that like to look at a woman that has no virtue and no morals. They might even like to date such a woman for a few days, but they don't want to marry her. They don't want to settle down with her. Amen. When those men decide to grow up and settle down and get married, they'd rather have a woman with some morals. Amen. That's right. I guess I could say to you young ladies, don't think, well, I've got to look worldly in order to catch a guy. That works in catching guys sometimes, but they ain't worth the catch. Most of them you got to throw back. Amen. Amen. Well, these children that I'm speaking of here in our text, her children, arise up and call her blessed. They don't just see mama virtuous on Sunday. They see her virtuous every day of her life. Amen. They see her virtue every day of her life. They enjoy the sweet fruits of home with a virtuous mother. Amen. They can't refrain from blessing it. It's going to swell up in them that they're so thankful that they've got a godly mother. Amen. Her husband, likewise, although he may not be good with words, he may not be good at putting voice to those emotions, yet he is grateful every day for a virtuous woman. Amen. A virtuous wife. Amen. Now, it's talking about this woman being praised, and I think I gotta say it this way, that a truly virtuous woman is not one that's seeking for praise. She's not one that's needing the approval of men. She's not doing this for the approval of men. She's doing this because she loves her Lord. She's doing this because she loves her children. She's doing this because she loves her husband. She's doing this because she loves her life of virtue. Amen. Amen. She's not looking for the blessings, and yet the blessings come. Amen. And here's the best blessings. The best blessings of this virtuous woman is not that she gets put on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine. The blessing is that her children rise up and call her blessed. That her husband also, he praiseth her. The blessing is not that the world ever recognizes it, but that her family does. Amen. 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 Their smiles and hugs and kisses and joy are worth far more than flowers or cards or candy on one day out of the year. Amen. She is happiest when they are happiest. Amen. here's what I believe is her best blessing. Look at the verse again, verse number 28. Her children, this next word, arise up. What does that mean, they arise up? Here's what it looks like to me. They grow up. They arise to their own household. They arise to their own place of business. They arise to their own family. And her best praise is watching repetition of her reputation. Amen. When she can see that her daughters are living like she trained them to, when she can see that her sons are living like she trained them to, that's her best praise. That's her best honor, to see that they're trying to follow the Lord and they're following her path in doing so. Amen. I believe that's right. That's better than any of the verbal praise she could get throughout life. Amen. Amen. Every mother deserves honor. Every wife deserves gratefulness. But a virtuous mother and a virtuous wife deserves more blessings and much more praise than she's ever gotten. Amen. Much more than she'll get in life. She deserves more. Matter of fact, I believe this next verse probably says it well. These are, I don't know if these are the words of her husband, if these are the words of her children, but here's what it says. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Amen. These words exclaim what a great life she's lived. Now I want you to think about this. I'm not going to ask for volunteers, but if I did, if I said, all right, ladies, how many of you would appreciate it if your husband came home tomorrow and compared you to another woman? You wouldn't appreciate that. That's exactly what he does here. He said, there's a bunch of women done good, but you've done better than all of them. He's not just comparing her to one woman. He's comparing them to a bunch. Matter of fact, he's not just comparing her to low women. He's comparing her to women that have excelled. Many women, he said, have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Not you're right up there with them. Not you're one of the crowd. No, he says you're above all of them. Not even just you beat most of them. You're in the top 25%. Amen. I heard a fellow say some time back, he said, I was in the top 10% of the lower 2% of my class. It might be how we are. Amen. How you compare yourself. But here he says, this woman has not just done better than most women or better than some women. She has done better than all. She has excellest them all. Now look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. I believe this is still part of the praise that her husband is heaping upon her. Perhaps it's her children, but he mentioned the husband's last. And this is why I believe it's the husband. He's praising this virtuous woman, noticing that her praise does not begin with her beauty, nor her feminine charms. Her praise is for her godliness. Amen. Her fear of the Lord. You see that phrase? A woman that feareth the Lord. By the way, it said a minute ago, her mouth, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Well, what's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Right. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If this woman is a wise woman, then she fears the Lord. And he said, the reason you've been a virtuous woman is because you fear the Lord. The reason you're to be praised is because you fear the Lord. Amen. So he praises her for her godliness and praises her for her fear of the Lord. She could have had physical and natural beauty and no fear of the Lord. Right? And with that physical beauty, with that natural beauty and no fear of the Lord, she would not necessarily have been a virtuous woman. Right? So here's what he's saying. Godliness makes a woman beautiful and virtuous. Amen. Don't fall out with me, but let me just tell you. It don't take curlers and colors. Are you following me? It don't. And I said curlers, I wasn't thinking about Miss Ann just got that kinky. I just want to look up. I saw her. I couldn't. But anyway, that's if it fits, just put the shoe on, Miss Annie. No, I'm just kidding. But my point is, it's not the physical things that makes a woman really beautiful. Our world says it is. And by the way, here's the thing that it says about that. It's natural beauty. I don't care how naturally beautiful a person is. Time has a way of working on that. But time also has a way of working on godliness. Time chips away at natural beauty. But time don't do nothing but shine godliness. Amen. That godly mama that becomes a godly grandmother outshines everything else. That's what he's talking about here. Amen. So he's pointing to the fact that she's got virtue. That virtue is that she fears the Lord. Amen. God's word tells us that holiness is beautiful. Talks about the beauty of His holiness. Amen. Holiness is beautiful. And it is beautiful whether it's found in a man or a woman. Amen. We need more holiness. Commentator Ralph Wardlaw. I like to read. Ralph Wardlaw wrote 5 volumes on the book of Proverbs. Over 500 pages per volume. You think I've preached a long time on Proverbs. You ought to read his. But I love some of the things he said. I don't agree with everything he said, but he wrote it back in the 1800s. But Ralph Wardlaw, bragging about this mother, makes a significant point here. He states the fact that it is impossible for a woman to be godly and for a woman to fear the Lord properly without showing her love and her devotion to her children and to her husband. Are you following me? He said that woman can claim all she wants to claim about being godly, but if it don't show out on her children and it don't show out on her husband, her claim is vain. Amen. Well, there's so much in our world today that takes away from the family, but when you have godliness, it adds to the family. It's a blessing to the family. Amen. Amen. And so he says her devotion and her husband. He states that the woman who imagines that she's serving God while at the same time neglecting her children or her husband and her household chores is deluded or deceived. Those are his words. That woman that claims or imagines, that's the word he uses, imagines that she is serving God while at the same time neglecting her husband, her children, and her household chores is deluded or deceived. He declares this notion of piety towards God while neglecting the calling of wife and mother. Here's what he said, quote, utterly perverse and dishonoring to God and to His word. Amen. Amen. I'm just tell you, I get aggravated. I've mentioned it before. I go back to listen to the Dave Ramsey programs, listen to the Jordan Peterson talks. And I get, I just get fed up with this beer drinking Christianity of our day. I call it Nashville, country music Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Guzzling their liquor and all at the same time talking about how godly and pious and Christian they are. I ain't buying it, friend. I ain't buying it. I don't believe a word of it, and I don't believe God believes a word of it. Amen. It's dishonoring to God and His Word. It's not helping your family. It's not being a blessing to your family. There's so much of that destroying families. Amen. Go back. The men in jail, the men in prison, a big percent of them, it's drinking that put them there. Amen. It's drugs that's caused them to get there. They've wrecked their family. They've thrown their kids to the dogs. They've broken their marriage vows. And they've lived ungodly all because of drink and liquor and because of drugs and all that other stuff. And then they claim, but I love Jesus. And I'm all right. Yeah. I ain't buying it. Amen. That, in a sense, that's a pet peeve of me. We're going there further and further and quicker in our world today. Amen. Dishonoring God. So here I'll come back to this. He's talking about piety. We don't use that word a lot, but piety is talking about really inward religious feelings that produces outward religious show. And so the idea is that piety is godliness. piety is real fear of the Lord that not just in your heart, works out in your life. So here's my phrase. Piety is practical. And if it ain't practical, it's imaginary. You can think you're as holy as you want to think, but if it don't work out in your daily life, somewhere, something's wrong. In other words, true religion works in the home even more than it works in the community or in the church gathering. Amen. Amen. It shows forth in the actions of kindness and benevolence. The fear of the Lord is more than a mental notion. It shows forth in the actions. If a woman can sing like an angel in the church, but doesn't have love and devotion in her heart for her family, her religion is vain. If she can cheat on her husband and neglect her children, all the while shouting hallelujah and singing praises to God, her religion is a sham. Amen. You may notice the virtues told about this woman. We've read numerous of them, and I'm winding her down, getting towards the end of this chapter and the end of this these verses. All these virtues that it mentions, it hasn't mentioned one time how often she went to church, how faithful she was to prayer meeting. It's not talked one time about how much Bible she's read or can quote. Not that those things are not important. Those are important things. But that's outward show. What he's saying here is that it shows in family life, not just in church life. Because here's what happens. When all you've got is church life and your family life is something different, you're going to raise a bunch of rebels. Amen. Children know what hypocrites are, even if it's somebody close to them. They can pick up on that very, very quickly. And I say that about hypocrites. That's one thing that grates on me. Just recently, somebody was talking about all the hypocrites in church. This fella's got liquor in his hand, liquor on his breath. This person's wearing shirts that's ungodly. I've got advertising ungodly things. He's using curse words. And he's talking about all them hypocrites in church. Bunch of Pharisees down there at church. I know God more than they do. And you know what the crowd does? The crowd roars at that. You know what he is? He is a hypocrite. Claiming that he knows God, wearing that apparel, drinking that stuff, using that language, and claiming he knows God. That's a hypocrite. You know what he's doing? He's pointing his fingers at others who may themselves be hypocrites, sure enough. But that don't justify him. That don't justify him for being a hypocrite. I'm simply saying this. This whole thing, all this Proverbs, particularly this about the virtuous woman, works in the home, not just down at the church house. Amen. Okay. Practical godliness seen in the home life. Her virtues are those of fidelity to her husband. We remember reading about that. Active personal habits, good management, diligence to her family, consideration for the necessities and comforts of others, watchfulness of conduct, tenderness for the poor and afflicted, kind and courteous behavior to all. Those are her virtues, and all this is done with the grace that flows from a virtue that is the product of fearing the Lord. Amen. Vital godliness. Last verse, verse 31. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Her virtue, her godliness centers around her home. And he says her biggest reward is going to be right there in her home. That's her biggest reward. Her biggest reward is right there in her home. Her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. Mothers, if you can raise sons that though they don't do everything right, they never wind up in jail, you've done pretty good. Better than a lot. Amen. If you can raise daughters that live virtuous and they can go to the marriage aisle pure, you've done something. You've instilled some wisdom. Amen. Now, not that that's going to fix everything, but I'm saying that's how your praise comes about, is in those children. Amen. Her own works praise her in the gates. Her testimony is left behind as an honor unto her. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Even after she's gone to her eternal reward, those good deeds that she did, those kind words that she said, those wise words that she gave, that virtuous life, that love that she showed is remembered after she's gone. That's what that verse is talking about. Give her of the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. I believe verse number 31 is similar to Revelation 4:13. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Revelation 4:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Here's this mama worked her whole life, day in, day out, sun up, sun down. She's worked. It's come her time to go. She's resting from her labors. And her works do follow her. That's what he said here. Let her own works praise her in the gates. That also goes with Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. The first half of that says, it says, the memory of the just is blessed. Amen. You remember there's a woman in the Bible by the name of Dorcas. That's a name people don't name their children much, but named Dorcas. Dorcas in Acts chapter number 9 was a woman that had done a lot of good works and she died. Peter came and raised her from the dead, if you know the story. But let me read you a couple of verses. Acts chapter 9 verse number 36. Here's what the Bible says about this woman. She died in her own works and the fruits of her hand praised her. Here's what it says verse 36. There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was, listen to this, full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Now, it's talking about she did this when she was living. Now she's died. Verse number 39 says, then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So Peter's going to raise her from the dead. They've taken up, they're all mourning her, but here's what they're doing. They're all standing around showing, look, she made this jacket. She made this coat. She made these clothes. She helped me with this blanket. She blessed me with these things. You know what's happening? She's receiving the fruit of her hands. And her own works are praising her in the gates. I don't know if this Dorcas had children. I don't know if she is a widow lady, but she helped a lot of widows. It talked about the widows that are there. Amen. Now, this woman here did not make these things or do these things for others that she might get this testimony. But by making these things and doing these things, she got a testimony. Amen. She got a testimony of loving people. And her testimony lives on even after she's gone. Amen. Now there's a comparison made back in verse number 30. I'm almost done. Verse 30. There's a comparison made about physical beauty and spiritual virtue. I touched it already. Physical beauty may last through youth, but will eventually fade in time. But spiritual beauty endures through time and only waxes and matures to be more and more virtuous and better remembered. It will last for the ages to come. Amen. Amen. It appears Lemuel's mother, we know that's how chapter 31 starts off, Lemuel with the words that his mother gave him. Lemuel's mother thought that exquisite beauty, that these, her life would outshine her exquisite beauty. That's the word I'm trying to get. When she's thinking about what she wants her son to look forward to, she says, this is the most beautiful thing I can think of. That is virtue that fears the Lord. Amen. Fears the Lord. Our chapter ends with that one quality being magnified. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. As we come to this stopping point, finish this chapter, we see the illustrations of this virtuous woman. We've seen a lot. Let me read to you some words from Matthew Henry. I love the way Matthew Henry says things. He says this about this text. Quote, "This description of the virtuous woman is designed to show what wives the women should make and what wives the men should choose." You see that? Can you understand? Matthew Henry said, this proverb shows us what women ought to strive for and what men ought to look for. Right, this is kind of why I want. Then he says, this is shut up, talking about this book. It is shut up, this looking glass for ladies, which they are desired to open and dress themselves by. And if they do so, their adorning will be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible's a mirror. And he said, this is how ladies ought to dress themselves. Look in that mirror and try to add those things to your life. Amen. Now, let me close giving you some words. I gleaned some closing statements from Charles Bridges. I've got four things here that I want to talk about, ending up with this virtuous woman. Talking about this book of Proverbs as a whole in conclusion, as we wrap it all up and tie the bow on top of it. Notice, first of all, notice the connection between inward principles and outward conduct. Notice the connection. There is a connection there between inward ideas and opinions and outward conduct. Because what you think in your heart is what comes out of your mouth, and it's what comes out in your life. Right, that's what he's dealing with. In other words, behavior is affected by belief. Amen. The teachings of these proverbs is that outward works manifest inward belief. Secondly, notice in these proverbs the connection between godliness and happiness. Wickedness, all through the proverbs, is seen as foolishness, sorrow, and shame. It's what's produced. While godliness produces satisfaction and joy. Amen. Some people regard religion as being joyless and stringent and pharisaical and enslaving. Bondage, they call it. But true religion's joyful and liberating and satisfying and makes you happy in the end. Amen. Amen. I've heard people make the comment, they say, you know, I'm probably going to hell, but when I get there, at least I'll be with all my friends. But I have never heard anybody on their deathbed shouting and rejoicing that they're going to hell with their drinking buddies. Not one. Brother Herbert got excited yesterday. One time, I was talking to him there. He's laying in that bed, and I'm knelt down there beside him. I don't remember if Melissa was at the foot of the bed still, or she'd gone to the bathroom, and sometime, and everybody, Brother Herbert's talking, and I couldn't understand some of what he's talking about. And he's talking about, I want to please my Lord. And he did like that. You know, you've seen him do that before. He did, if there'd have been a pulpit in there, he'd have picked it up, I'm guaranteed. But he just did like that. He said, we're getting ready to go to glory. That's what he said. We're getting ready to go to glory. And just as quick as he said it, he is on another thought. But this is what I was thinking about. If he'd lived the life of a drunkard, he wouldn't be happy about dying. But somehow in his mind, he knows in his condition that he may not be long for this world. But he don't have to be upset about that. He can rejoice that there's a better life waiting for him. Now, how is that? How can you have that assurance? I'm going to tell you how. Because something that's taking place on the inside of you. Amen. That's what he's dealing with in these texts. Number three. Wise people look for good in life. Wise people look for good in life. And that good is centered in God. Amen. I got several. To find God is to find life, according to Proverbs 8:35. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. To trust God is to find happiness, Proverbs 16:20. To love God is to have treasure, Proverbs 8:18-21. And to neglect God is certain ruin, Proverbs 8:36. So wise people look for some good things in life. And then the last one, a life worth living is a life that fears the Lord, whether you're man or woman. And it is observed in this text by the virtuous woman. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I don't know what you may need. You may need to come pray. If you do, I want to give you that opportunity to do so. But I want to be what the Lord wants me to be, and I want to be all I can for the glory of God. I want to have not just a godly testimony at church, reputation at church. I want to have a godly reputation on the job. I want to have a godly reputation in the home. Amen. I want to have a godly reputation as a reality of my life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word as we've tried to preach it this evening. I pray, dear Lord, that it's been a help and a blessing to somebody, an encouragement to the saints. Lord, help us not to get caught up in this world of foolishness and fake religion. Lord, help us to see that pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, that a man visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. That we're clean on the inside and we're helpful on the outside for your glory and honor. Help us, Lord, to be that and to bring you that glory. I pray, Lord, help these folks in their struggles and needs and burdens of the hour. Meet their needs, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.